Advanced Studio Classroom is on the air. Well, welcome to the first day of March in our technology article about the new face of robots. Well, I hope everybody has your magazine open to page 10 of your advanced magazine. Today we're going to talk about robots. Do you guys like robots?
I do like robots, especially the robots that I have seen in various science fiction stories.
Okay, I think that's what we mostly think of when we think about robots. How about you, Simon?
To be honest, I don't have any strong feelings about robots one way or the other.
Okay, well, today you've just heard views from the guests that we have on our program today, and I want to welcome all of you. I'm Linda, the editor of Studio Classroom Magazine, and with me I have...
Brian.
And Simon.
And we have a very interesting article about robots. You can see that some of us have no strong feelings, and some of us like them, and some of us might be kind of scared of them. And the article, our technology article, if you're scared of technology, don't be. This is quite an entertaining article and very, very informative article about the way that robots are entering our lives and what we expect to see in the future. It says that new technologies help robots make inroads on daily life. And by making inroads here, what do we mean?
Well, I guess the expression probably originally came from people who visited new islands. And at first they would be on the beach, and later they would build roads into the middle of the island. They would make inroads, meaning they got to see and explore all of the island.
Okay. So this is talking about coming into being a part of or being integrated into the daily life of human beings. And maybe you, like Brian, have seen robots in science fiction movies. We can think of several where there are bad robots and some where there are good robots, like on Star Wars.
That's right.
I think that's the first introduction, really, where you thought that they might actually be a part of the world, you know, CP3O.
Oh, yeah. Expose them to the whole world.
Yeah, and R2-D2. Which one was your favorite?
I have no strong feelings on either C-3PO or R2-D2.
Oh, surely you saw Star Wars many times. I think C-3PO was good because he was a funny robot. That
was
quite
very cute.
Unusual. Yeah.
But so we'll see if the robots we're talking about today and tomorrow are those kind of robots. But first, go to the left-hand column of page 10, and let's read that.
The new face of robots. New technologies help robots make inroads on daily life. Robots, it seems, are everywhere, ranging from microbots to gigantic models. The mechanical march is gaining steam. Warp speed ahead! To date, robots have mostly been used by automakers and semiconductor firms to produce goods in high volume. But cheap, powerful cameras, advanced sensors, and other electronics now form the basis of robotics projects. It sounds like Star Wars, but it's coming, said Bill Voss, CEO of Liquid Robotics. A perfect storm of technology is occurring for robotics, he said, ticking off the convergence of technologies such as GPS, advances in cell and wireless communications, open source software, and new ARM processors on smartphones.
So in our introduction here, we see that he feels that robots are everywhere, and they come in lots of different sizes.
Yeah, that's right. Well, they range from the tiny ones, microbots, so micro here meaning extremely small, to gigantic models. So that's quite a variety of robots. And we'll see in just a minute where these robots are placed or where they work.
There's a really interesting term in the last sentence of that introduction. It says, the mechanical march is gaining steam. And the part I thought was interesting about that was this term, the mechanical march. What do they mean by march there?
Well, they mean march, I would assume, almost like a military march going forward in great numbers. Does that sound right?
I think so.
That's what I thought, too.
It's the sort of thing that you can't stop, this kind of progress. I think, for example, of a very famous charity in the United States. Can you think of one that uses march in this way?
Sure, the March of Dimes.
The March of Dimes. They collect 10-cent coins to use in fighting disease, and the program is called the March of Dimes.
Right. It shows how much just a small dime can do for society or to help people. But here we have the mechanical march. So by mechanical, obviously it's talking about machinery, okay, or something to do with machines. And it says it's gaining steam.
Another very interesting term. If you are old enough to remember steam locomotives, you'll know that when they sat at the station, they had to sit there for a little while, gaining enough steam so that they would be able to move. And so basically, this term gaining steam means you're taking time to build up enough momentum or power to begin doing the thing you want to do.
So this is just the beginning. Basically, what they're saying is this is just the very, very beginning. They might even still be in the station just building up this steam. Okay? But now we've gone from it's gaining steam to warp speed ahead.
That's right. Warp speed ahead, a famous phrase from one of my favorite science fiction shows, Star Trek. Warp speed ahead, meaning full speed ahead.
Right, but warp speed actually is faster than full speed, isn't it?
Oh, I would assume so. It's, what is it, a couple times the speed of light or something?
I think it is the speed of light. And so they, on Star Trek, they always said things like warp factor 5, which meant 5 times the speed of light.
And
good
that's
memory.
How fast they would fly. Okay, so we've gone from sitting in the train station getting speed, gaining speed or gaining steam to go ahead, and now we're warp speed ahead, which means there's no, it's very, very fast and no turning back, basically.
Moving quickly towards the future.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. So in our first paragraph, we can see here they're talking a little bit about history. To date is one of the vocabulary words, and it just means up until now. Okay, this is an idiom, and it's very, very commonly used. Okay, if you're talking about what you've done in the past, you can say, to date, I have written 5 papers, which means in the future you're going to write more.
That's right.
So it's just talking about the past. And so it talks about where they've been used almost exclusively. Several firms have used those, and what are they?
Automakers and semiconductor firms. You know, it's interesting. I actually remember when car makers or automakers started to use robots, and it caused a lot of crisis for many people. People were losing their jobs, and they thought, this is it. People are going to be replaced by robots. But it didn't really work out that way.
Right. And, yeah, I remember that very clearly, too. People were very afraid that human beings would be replaced. And semiconductor firms. Now, we see this word semiconductor a lot, but what is it really talking about here? What's a semiconductor?
Well, as far as I know, it's the chips, the computer chips that actually make the product smarter or make the product able to process things.
This is a very dangerous thing. I'm sure we're going to get a lot of letters from our engineer listeners out there. I understand that semiconductors are the materials that you then put into integrated circuit chips.
Right.
So they're part of they're components of microprocessors that we use in digital technology, things like computers and things like that.
So if you write letters, write about Simon and Brian, because I'm saying nothing. So there are firms that, you know, this is a big business. Semiconductor firms are firms that deal with computers or circuit boards or microchips. Am I saying all those words right?
I think so.
They produce goods in high volume, okay? So that's what they've been using these robots for, as we've talked about, putting cars together, putting computer components together. But cheap, powerful cameras, advanced sensors, and other electronics now form the basis of robotics projects. Very interesting.
Yeah, it means robots are becoming able to do things that are more and more detailed and require a gentler touch than some of the things they've been used for in the past.
Right. And advanced sensors, what kind of things use advanced sensors? What is that for?
Well, sensors are things that are used to detect things or respond to light, sound, and other phenomenon. So advanced sensors, I suppose, would give them the ability, like Simon said, to be guided or to guide things in a very delicate or precise way.
Okay. So they're being used, robots are being used to help develop or help build these kind of things, right?
That's right.
Okay. And also cameras and other electronics. So I think we're going to see a broadening of this, of usage of robots into lots of different electronic fields.
Yeah, that's right. We'll get out of the factory.
So we have a very interesting CEO here of Liquid Robotics. That's kind of a fun title of a company.
That's right. And his name is Bill Vass, and he says that it sounds like Star Wars, but it's coming. And I guess he's reminding us of the science fiction things Brian was so fond of.
I actually love Star Wars, too.
This may sound like something that's not real, but it is becoming a reality very quickly.
Right. And I like his imagery here. A perfect storm of technology is occurring for robotics, he said, ticking off the convergence of technology. So this is kind of a mouthful. First of all, what does robotics mean? It just means projects for robots?
Yeah, the projects for robots, the study of robots, the science of it, how to make them better, all of those would probably be included.
Mm-hmm. I thought the term perfect storm was very interesting there. Some of you might remember a movie with George Clooney in it a number of years ago called The Perfect Storm.
Mm-hmm.
And it was actually a story that was written sort of based on a real storm.
Yes.
Where a number of different storms met and merged into a gigantic storm. And so that's kind of the image he's creating here. All of these different kinds of technology are coming together and making something much bigger than any of them would have been by themselves.
Right. And actually, you talked about that word coming together, okay, and that is what the word convergence means. It's one of the vocabulary words, and it just means to join together, like the storms in the Atlantic Ocean that came together or converged to make one big storm. And here he's using that to describe technology. So he's ticking off the convergence of technologies. This ticking off just means checking them off so we can see how many are involved.
Yeah, he's making a list of the different technologies, right?
And there are quite a few here. GPS, which stands for?
Global Positioning System.
Right. Global Positioning System. I think a lot
more letters, more letters.
I think if you just say GPS, I think most of us know what that means.
That's right. Probably. People use them in their cars to find out where they're going these days. We have them in our cell phones so that we can figure out where we're going.
Mm-hmm.
Very handy devices. The next one it mentions there is advances in cell and wireless communications, meaning that the technology no longer really needs to be plugged into something in order to work. And after that, open source software, which of course is very important for robotics because if it's open source, you can change it to meet your needs as opposed to working through a company and having them create you a specific software solution.
Oh, so there's just like a basic software and then you change it yourself? Because
I saw
that it's like it's a source code that's open to the public. So it means you don't have to go to the company.
Yeah, you can just adjust it for your own purposes.
And then we also have the new ARM or ARM processors on smartphones. And ARM is one of our special terms here.
That's right. A special term. Short for Acorn RISC Machine, which is new to me, but it stands for a 32-bit computer microprocessor that's used in electronic devices such as those we've mentioned, mobile phones, computer tablets, and the like. So it's a very popular processor used on today's mobile gadgets.
This is a broad range of products, it looks like, that are coming together to use robots in the making of these different sources. Well, let's take a look at our second column on page 10, and let's read that first before we talk about it.
The future edges closer. It's hard to gauge the commercial potential for robotics as the technology is in its infancy and, once ready, the bots could do just about anything. What's certain, though, is that bots will be ubiquitous in all shapes and sizes for industrial use. Factory robots are now commingling with people because of cheaper and more advanced sensor technology. Japan's Kawada Industries and other companies are developing dexterous robots capable of assembling smartphones and working safely in close proximity to people. Kawada's Next Age Bot, which could pass for the robot character Wall-E in the animated film of the same name, is one such model. These more efficient tools for repetitive tasks could slice labor costs of consumer electronic products makers and free up humans for other jobs.
So we're looking at, we're on page 10 on the second column, the future edges closer. So we've gone from warp speed ahead to edging closer. That's kind of an interesting phrase.
Yeah, and I think really what they're saying here is that while we are making a lot of progress in robotics, it's not like we will see huge changes overnight. It will take some time for us to see these actual changes.
So we've gone from warp speed to slowing down?
I guess
kind
so.
Kind of.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, it's hard to gauge the commercial potential for robotics, and we have this word gauge here, which means just to be able to determine or to measure, you know, the potential for robotics.
You know, it's very interesting, this word gauge, too, because I always think of the word read or measure when I see this word, because the little device that you see on things, maybe showing how much steam there is or something, is also called a gauge. And so you use the gauge to gauge what is going on, to read or measure what's going on.
Right. This is one of those verb and noun words where you don't change anything about it. It has these two different meanings.
Right. And it mentions here, of course, that it's hard to gauge the commercial potential for robotics because the technology is in its infancy, which is another very interesting term.
That's right. And you might think of infants, who are very young people. So infancy is similar to this idea of gaining steam. It's in the very, very early stage of technology.
And just like with a child, it can be hard to predict what they're going to do later on in life, right?
Very interesting choice of words in writing this article, I think. Very clever, with a lot of deeper meaning, actually. You can look at it at several different levels. And then it says that once ready, the bots, so we've gone from robots to bots now, same thing, right?
That's right.
Could do just about anything, just like kids. But it does say that what is certain is that they will be ubiquitous in all shapes and sizes, okay? So that's we've come across this word before in some of our advanced articles. What does this mean?
Well, it just means everywhere, very, very common. Involved in every aspect of daily life.
Okay.
Yeah.
So we're going to take a look at some of those uses. In fact, today and tomorrow we're going to look at several of them. And first we're going to take a look at industrial use. So in our industrial use, first of all, factory robots, they're co-mingling. Okay. What does this word mean, co-mingling?
Kind of means mixing with or working together with people.
Blending together. Actually, what is the word? If we take the word mingle, you know, if you go to a party, we say, oh, we need to mingle. It means go out among a lot of different people, right?
Mm-hmm.
So here, co-mingling means robots together with people working together in a factory.
That's right. And I actually have had a personal experience with a robot like this.
Really?
Yeah, there was a time probably about 10 years ago now that I was visiting an automaker, a factory where they made cars. And in the factory, they had kind of a robotic train that took car pieces to all the places on the assembly line. And the interesting thing about this was there was some concern that the robot train was going to run over workers because it wouldn't know they were there. And so they placed these sensors on the robot train so that whenever it came near something it thought was a person, it would stop and start to beep. Beep, 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 beep. And someone would have to come over and hit this "it's all safe" button before the train could continue on its way.
That's a great story.
Safe commingling.
Safe commingling.
With the workers. Yeah.
Okay, so, but actually, this is actually being used in Japan, and they're saying in its more advanced sensor technology because of that. So they probably don't have to hit their "it's safe" button anymore because they have this advanced technology, sensor technology here, so they can sense when something is close to it, or it's close to like a human or something else. So what kind of companies are using this, and how can they, Brian?
Well, they're using these robots to do things like assemble smartphones, which are in high demand, and to work safely in close proximity to the people. So close proximity meaning just near or next to the people. And they can do that because they're dexterous. And what would that mean, Simon?
Well, dexterity is a word that refers to your ability to control very, very small motions or actions. So the idea is that these robots, which are dexterous, are very sensitive and able to do very delicate things without damaging the thing they're working on.
Right. Usually, yeah, for hand movements. So actually when – you know, going back to our children here, you know, we help children develop their dexterity, you know, by, you know, when they start like picking up little pieces of something, or when they start to write, they're developing their manual dexterity or their hand movement.
That's right. And you can see children's dexterity improve by watching their drawings.
Mm-hmm.
When they're very young, initially the drawings are, you know, kind of rough, and then they get easier and easier to right. identify the things in the drawing as their dexterity improves.
So it's interesting that the robot's dexterity is also improving, which is allowing them to be able to work on, you know, finer, as we say, you know, putting together finer items like little pieces of smartphones and things like this. And also, of course, it's very important that they can work, as you said, in close proximity to people, for both the robot safety and also for the safety of the person working with them. So do you think you would like to do that? I think it would be kind of interesting.
It sounds like it's a lot safer now than in the past, like Simon said, you know, when they were working with automobiles and auto factories. It sounds like now they're almost like a partner to the humans.
Well, you're talking more about a train, I think.
Well, it was, you know, it didn't have tracks. It just kind of... drove around from station to station, and other robots would pull things off of it.
Oh, really?
Put them in cars.
Also, they also had working robots beside the train.
Yeah, there were robots everywhere. I mean, it was just obviously we're talking here about robots being in their infancy, but that was maybe even an earlier stage for the
mm-hmm,
robots.
Mm-hmm.
Things have no doubt improved over the last 10 years.
Well, it's interesting. These are factory robots now that we're talking about, okay, the development of factory robots and blending in with people. And, you know, they're cheaper.
Yeah.
That's the one word we don't want to hear, because that means they replace people.
Right.
Basically, when working.
Yeah, it says they're more efficient tools for repetitive tasks. So they don't take sick days. They are able to do the same task over and over again without making mistakes. And so, and they're very efficient way of getting these things done.
Right. And one of the reasons is because it could slice labor costs. And this is an interesting way of putting it. It really, I think it paints a very clear picture in our mind. When you're talking about slicing something, it means what?
To chop it off or cut it off.
Okay. So we're cutting back. They didn't say – I think it's interesting that they didn't say cut labor costs. They said slice labor costs. It's a slightly more – to me, it's a slightly more sophisticated way of saying to cut back costs. But, you know, we slice bread, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So,
not quite as crude as chopping, maybe.
Yeah. Yeah. It's more refined, I think, in how they're saying it.
And here they're mentioning it specifically for consumer electronic product makers. So I guess we can all hope that our electronic products will be cheaper in the future with these cost savings being passed on to us.
Yes. I think hopefully that's what the ultimate goal is going to be here.
Hmm.
And also it says to free up humans for other jobs. You know, we are seeing that there is a lower birth rate in the world, and a lot of people don't want to be involved in these kind of jobs. So this is a good way of, you know, taking care of both of those issues, I think.
That's a very positive way of looking at this, isn't it?
Thank you.
Yes.
Well, let's take a quick look at the bottom of this page. We have happy robots. So we alluded to it and actually talked about it a little bit at the very beginning. Sometimes they've been portrayed as sinister. This is a great word. What does sinister mean? What do you think of sinister?
I think of dangerous and evil, like a mad scientist or something like that.
Right. And they gave a very good example, Terminator. In the movie Terminator, we think of sinister robots.
Taking over the world. Yeah, that's right.
I think we've had other examples, too, in other movies. And then it goes on to say they have also sparked delight in, we already talked about C-3PO and R2-D2 in Star Wars, and also WALL-E. And they even talk about him in Kawada's next age bot. You know, he's going to be something like this character, WALL-E.
Yeah, he looks like him.
They mentioned, too, here that companies are in the process of developing robots that they hope to offer for only $5,000 within the next few years. I wonder what that robot will do for us.
Hmm. Well, it talks about that they are the interface between the information world and the physical world. So interface just means when two different worlds, here they're talking about, you know, information, physical, come together, okay, meeting face-to-face. And this is one of their goals for the future. How much are we going to be able to use robots on a daily basis? I think even in factory uses, they're trying to develop it even more, right?
Yeah, more practical.
You see it in daily life, too, with things like the iPhone uses Siri, right? So you can ask your phone questions and it can tell you the answer. Interface between information and physical life, right?
Yeah, and also like Furby.
Sure.
Isn't he like a little robot, even though it's a toy?
He's a happy robot.
He can get angry also. But that's very interesting because there is actually, a program on your iPad that you can use, like to feed your robot, your Furby, and he tries to talk to you or whatever. You know, it's just a toy. My husband's toy. So we've gone from sounding like Star Wars to actually having it be a part of our world. And tomorrow we're going to talk about some other ways that it's being integrated and used today and how it's becoming reality in our world. It's not something that's going to go away. So thank you for joining us today, and we hope to see you back here tomorrow for more about the new face of robots. Bye.
Goodbye. Bye.